So, this is a recording of our shiur from Shabbos Parshas Lech Lecha. Note that, God willing, there will be no shiur next Shabbos. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis, and this introduces several cases in which we will deal with issues of credibility, stretching over the next Mishnah as well. So, the question fundamentally is, what happens when two parties are making opposite claims and we don't have evidence that we can draw on to resolve those claims and figure out who's right? So there are a lot of factors to consider and arguments to be made in order to say which side we may accept when it's possible to resolve it at all. It could be we can't resolve it. But I want to first outline four different approaches, which are all going to be relevant in our Gemara. So the first approach is called Bari Veshema Bari Adif. And the term Bari means strong. Sometimes you see the word Bari used as healthy. In the Gemara, sometimes you see it to mean someone who is very large, because that was considered to be a sign of strength. It also means certainty. So somebody who speaks in a way that is Bari, in a way that is certain, and there's reason for them to be certain, not just like, you know, they're sure of themselves, but there's reason why they could make a certain claim. That claim is more believable than the claim of somebody who says, well, I think maybe. So as an example, we'll see it in the Gemara, Reuven says to Shimon, I lent you $1,000. And Shimon's response is, could be, I don't really remember such a loan. So Reuven says, Bari. He says, this for sure happened, and there's reason why he would know. Shimon says, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. So Reuven has greater credibility because he made a strong statement. Second is what's called chazaka. Chazaka I will translate as presumed status. There are a lot of different uses of the word chazaka, but that's what it means here. A presumed status. And there are two kinds of presumed statuses that are relevant here, as we'll see in the Gemara. One is a chazaka that what once was continues to be true. What was known to be true at a point in time is still true going forward until we have reason to discredit it. So I'll give you an example of it in a moment. But the opposite would be to say we know the status of something right now, and we will project it backward and assume that it was always true until such time that we had reason to believe that it wasn't true. So to give an example, this is from the beginning sugya in the Gemara in Nida. A woman handles truma at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then at 5 o'clock, she notices dam nida, menstrual blood. So she is now a nida, and whatever she handles at this point will gain tuma. So what's the status of the truma that she handled at 3 o'clock? On the one hand, you could say, well, she wasn't a nida 3 days ago, and we assume that that went forward until 5 o'clock today, and therefore, whatever she handled at 3 o'clock is just fine. The other way to look at it is, no, she's a nida right now, so let's project backward and say she's a nida now, she was a nida at 3 o'clock as well, until such time in the past that we know she wasn't. To give a different example that comes up frequently in the Gemara, there's a mikvah. Mikvah has to be 40 sa'ah, has to hold 40 sa'ah of water. So somebody measures the mikvah, finds that it's not 40 sa'ah right now. What happens to all the people who went to mikveh today, yesterday, the day before? So one way to look at it is to say, well, it was checked 3 weeks ago, and 3 weeks ago it was 40 sa'ah, so we assume it was 40 sa'ah until this moment in time. The other way to look at it is to say, no, it's short of 40 sa'ah now, so therefore we assume it's been short of 40 sa'ah since 3 weeks ago, unless we have some moment in time when we can to which we can attribute the loss of water. So there's a lot of discussion of this, again, in the beginning of Maseches Nida, and it's relevant here as well, but there are really these two competing kinds of chazaka, and both will apply here. So we'll see that in the Gemara. So we have Bari Veshema Bari Adif, we have chazaka, and then the third kind of argument is Migo. Migo means since. And the argument here, what since stands for here, is the idea that they made a claim that obviously helps their case, that will give them a good outcome if it's believed. However, if they really wanted to lie, they could have made a stronger claim that would have really helped them. The fact that they didn't make such a strong claim gives them credibility. Example outside of the realm of halacha. Somebody loses a wallet, and then along comes someone and says, here's the wallet, I found the wallet. And he turns over the wallet, and there's no money in it. You don't remember how much was in it, but you're pretty sure you didn't lose a wallet with nothing in it. So you say, well, he took, you know, he must have taken something out of the wallet. On the other hand, if he produces the wallet and there's $25 in the wallet, so he has greater credibility to say, I didn't take anything out of the wallet. Because if he really wanted to take something out of the wallet, then the wallet would be empty. So the fact that he didn't do as well for himself as he could have done gives him credibility. So too, if a person in court makes a claim that really isn't their best possible claim, then they have a certain credibility, because if they wanted to lie, they would have said something stronger. We'll see that obviously in our Gemara, because this is all these arguments will come up in our Gemara. The last argument is the argument of Oki Mamona Bechezkas Mare, which means keep the money in the possession of the person who is currently holding it. If siding with one party would cause the other one to lose money, we're less likely to do that. That's the concept. We would rather cause somebody to not gain than to cause the other guy to actually lose. This goes along with another line in the Gemara, which is used in various cases. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. You want to get money out of somebody, you have to prove that you have a claim to it. Now, there are different ways we could understand our preference for not causing somebody a loss. The way our Gemara does it is that what it means is that the person holding the money has a chazaka. You are the owner now. We assume you were the owner before, just like the chazakos that we mentioned before. Another argument that people sometimes make is, we don't want to take the step of removing funds from somebody's possession. We don't want to do that to them. That's considered to be more egregious than causing them not to gain. The truth of the matter is, though, that that's just psychological, right? It's all about how you frame it. To the person who loses, to the person who is not getting what they thought was their due, it's, you know, this is a loss. It just feels more like a loss to take money out of somebody's pocket and hand it to somebody else. And they talk about this in the field of cognitive bias, how people find it more offensive to impose a potential loss on someone than to cause somebody to miss a benefit. And I brought a source on the sheet from the paper Inside the Judicial Mind from the Cornell Law Review, where they talked about this this idea, and they gave a sample case. You could look at it on the sheet. So now we have these four principles. The principle of believe the one who was in a position to speak with certainty and did so. Number two, go with the chazaka, although there are different ways to have a chazaka which could actually conflict with each other. Number three, migo, since they could have done better for themselves had they chosen to do so. And number four, oki mamona becheskes mare, keep the money with the person who's holding it right now. So all of this brings us to our Mishnah. Hanose yesa isha, Yud Beis 12b, middle of the page. Hanose yesa isha v'lamatzala basulim. Man marries a woman, and there are no basulim. He omeres, mishe erastani ne'enasti v'nistach v'sadeyu. She tells this terrible story. She was raped. And it was after Kiddushin. And therefore, nistach v'sadeyu, his field is ruined, his field was flooded. Meaning, it's not my fault that this happened. It was a rape. And it's your bad luck, because at the time of the Kiddushin, I was indeed a basula. V'hu omer loki, and he says, no, that's not what happened. Ela ad shlo erastich, the rape was before the Kiddushin. V'ya mekhi mekachtos, and therefore, when you claim to be a besula at Kiddushin, that was actually not true, that was misrepresentation. Now, obviously, this is an incredibly cold presentation here. She's talking about having experienced rape, and you're worried about whether you're going to have to give her a ksuba of 200 zuz, and what's wrong with you, pal? But again, as we've said, this has come up before, earlier in the Masechta, where we're just stripping the case to its legal bare bones. What is his claim? What is her claim? And we're taking all the emotion and all the relationships out of it and just presenting dry legal claims. So the dry legal claim is that she says the Kiddushin, at the time of the Kiddushin I was a Basula, and it's 200 Zuz, and everything is on the up and up. And he says, I don't know, I think that you tricked me. Now, he has no way to actually know, right? Go back to the principles that we've employed, that we described for managing cases. And she's clearly the Bari. She's the one who has a definite claim because she's in a position to know when the rape took place. He has no idea. He's saying, well, maybe it was after the Kiddushin, but he doesn't actually know. So what are we going to do here? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim Namenes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say she is believed. And if you take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah, the first Rashi, Namenes, Kasaka Daitach, we assume, Mishum Debari Veshema Bari Adif. We assume that the reason why we believe her is because she is making a definite claim. We'll see in the Gemara that that's not the only way to read why we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lomi Piha Anuchayin. Rabbi Yeshua says, why should we live off of what she has to say? Ela Harezu Bechezkas Beula Achlo Tisares. Vihitato, Ajitavi Rayala Devara. He says, no. She is a Be'ula right now. Right now, she's not a Besula. We project that backward and say she was probably a Be'ula at the time of the Kiddushin as well. Unless she can prove otherwise, we're gonna go with the Chazaka of what she is right now and project that backwards. So it seems to be Bari Veshema versus Chazaka. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer adopt Bari. Rabbi Yeshua adopts Chazaka. That's what it sounds like right now. So our Gemara is going to explore what happens when these different arguments go head to head. Bari Veshema, Chazaka, Oki Mamona, Migo. We're going to throw them all into the square and let them fight it out. And we do it by starting with a different case, a case that I already referenced in discussing the Mishnah. The case in which you have two parties, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben says to Shimon, you owe me 100 zuz. I lent you 100 zuz. And Shimon says, I don't know, maybe it could be. I don't really remember. I don't know whether this ever happened. So Itmar, we are at the beginning of the Gemara. It is about 7 lines up in the thin lines. Itmar, manali biyadcha. One party says, you owe me a mana, 100 zuz. Vala omer ini yodeya. And the other guy says, I don't know. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna amri chayev. Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say, you have to pay up. Which, again, I assume right now is because Bari Veshema Bari Adif. The fellow who claims the 100 is making a definite claim, and he is in a position to do so. We have reason why he would be certain. For Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Potter, Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan say no. He's exempt from paying. Two notes. Number one, in the event that the alleged borrower came back and said, no, there never was any such thing, then it was Bari and Bari. He's also in a position to be certain, but he's not expressing himself with certainty. That's why he's losing here. That's number one. Number two, Rashi notes when we say Potter, it's not quite that way. If you look at the Rashi on the Gemara, it's the third of the thin lines. Pater mi l'shalem, he's exempt from paying. Umi komako mamash be'inon lei shivuas heses shekenu kedvarav she'enu yodeh shu chayav lo. He does have to swear a type of oath called a shivuas heses, an oath of contradiction. This is a rabbinically required oath in a case where he is contradicting the other fellow, but we can't have the other fellow swear. It doesn't fit this type of a case. So what we say is, okay, fine, so you have to swear to the veracity of your statement. Not swear that there was no loan. You can't do that. You don't know whether there was a loan or not. You say any odea. But swear that you don't know, that you're not covering something up. That's what we are going to require here. Okay. So in this case, we have Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna saying Chayav, Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan saying Potter, and now the Gemara explains, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Ami Chayav, as we said, Bari Veshema, Bari Adif. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say you have to pay, because Bari Veshema, Bari Adif, we go with the claim, that is a definite claim. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Ami Potter, Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan disagree, and they say, Potter, why? Oki Mamona Bechezkes Mare. Because you have a chazaka right now, he's holding the money. We are going to let him keep on holding the money until you can prove otherwise, right? Like we explained, Oki Mamona Bechezkes Mari in our introduction to the Mishnah. So if I have to put Bari Veshema Bari Adif versus Oki Mamona Bechezkes Mare, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say Bari wins, Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan say Oki Mamona wins. Amale Abaye l'Rav Yosef. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, I want to introduce another case. We already have the Maneh case. We have our Mishnah. We're going to see a third case. The third case is actually the next Mishnah found on Yud Gimel Lamed Aleph. And the case is regarding the identity of a woman's fetus. You have a pregnant woman who is not married. And the question arises, Sunu, what's the paternity of the child? What's the status of this fetus? That's going to be the next Mishnah we quoted here. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Had the Rav Huna of Rav Yehuda, the statement of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, who say Chayav because Bari Veshema Bari Adif, that is the same statement to Shmueli. That's the same statement that Shmuel made. Shmuel also believes Bari Veshema Bari Adif. Where? Disnan, this Mishnah that's coming up. Haisimu Baras, a woman is pregnant. Va'amru lamativo shel uberzeh, and people ask her, Nu, who's the father? This is very direct. This is not a Canadian thing to do. They walk up there and they say, mazel tov that you're pregnant. What's the status of this kid? And she responds in kind, Me'ish ploni v'kohenu, very straightforward. She says, yeah, it's so-and-so, the kohen. She's not shy, about this. I think when it says Me'ish ploni, it's not, she doesn't say Ploni. She's not hiding his identity. It's just that the Gemara is just giving a hypothetical, so there's no name attached. But from so-and-so the Kohen. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer omrim namenes. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say she is credible. When she says it, right, it sounds like Bari Veshema, right? When she says this is who the father is, she is credible to say so. By the way, if you're looking for the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, it's actually the second Mishnah on the Amud, not the Mishnah at the top, the Mishnah further down the page. So so she says, it's from so-and-so the Kohen, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Eliezer say she's believed, just like over here they said she's believed. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and there Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel to say, Halacha ki Rabbi Gamliel, the law follows Rabbi Gamliel, we follow Bari. The Amar le Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda le Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana. Shinana, I'll translate as sharp one right now, I'll come back to it. Amrit lan mishmei de Shmuel halacha krabi gamliya la farishona. I didn't need you to tell me that. I didn't need you to tell me that it's true in that case that we'll believe the Bari, where there's no cost to anybody else. There's no counterclaim that we are aware of. You even said halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah. And in our Mishnah, there's an Ogi Mamona Becheskes Mare case, and still you said it. So there's no novelty in saying that we believe her when she's talking about the pregnancy. The novelty is that we believe her even when they're talking Ksuba amount and the guy is arguing against her. My af barishona, as the Gemara spells out. What do you mean when you said, even in the first case? Af agav de'ika lememar oki mamona b'chezkas mare. Even though in our case, there's room to say, keep the money where it is. And yet, Am Rabbi Gamliel bari adif, Rabbi Gamliel still says, we go with the bari. How much more so in the Mishnah about the kahuna parentage, we're going to believe her. That's the idea. I certainly, if you believe it here, you believe it over there. So our statement here is that that Bari Veshema is going to win. It wins in our case, and it certainly wins in the case of the Uber. That's the idea. Going back to that word shinana that was used, which I translated as sharp one, which is a frequent translation for it. The Tshuvas HaGaonim, which I brought you on the sheet, says now shinana actually means the guy with the teeth, the one with the long teeth. And he says specifically, don't view this as some kind of an appropriate insult or something like that. It's not an insult at all. And actually, I forgot to mention it during the shir, but on the sheet I brought, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Beis Amud Aleph, which seems to fit with that read of the word shinana. It was taught in the name of Rabbi Meir. I brought you in the Gemara there. It was taught in the name of Rabbi Meir. Dok bekachi v'tishkach benigri. Shne'amar v'nisba alechem v'niyah tovim v'ra'a la ra'inu. It says if you check your teeth, if you're careful with your teeth, you'll do well. You will get benefits from it. Be careful with your teeth. And Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, shinana. Shari shakech v'ayalachmach. He says to him, that you should get ready and eat your bread. So shinana there, as a comment in a context that relates to teeth, I think is very leading towards the Tshuvas HaGaonim, which suggests that in fact shinana is a reference to him having big teeth. All right, there's more to be said. We said more in the shir, but I think for the recording purposes, I'm going to cut that part short. So the point here is that that right now we're taking the view that Bari Vishama Bari Adif as a consistent argument down the line is the position of Rabbi Gamliel, it is the position of Shmuel as well. So the Gemara says, can you now match up these different views? Would you be able to actually match up the views of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, with the Amoraim here, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Huna, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan? Can you line everybody up and say the following? Lema, let's say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna were from the case of the 100 Zuz. And they said in the case of the 100 Zuz that you believe the alleged lender, the guy who says, you owe me the money. So can you say, Da'amrik Rabbi Gamliel? They agree with Rabbi Gamliel, who says, you believe her when she makes a Bari case. They all believe in Bari. And can you say, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan, who said the alleged borrower does not need to pay, Da'amrik Rabbi Yeshua? Is because he's with Rabbi Yeshua, who says that we don't believe her in the case of the Ksuba. So Amalar Rabbi Nachman, Anad Da'amri Afilak Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Nachman says, no, not so fast. I didn't believe the lender, but I do believe her in the Ksuba case. Why? Or he didn't say this definitively. We are putting words in his mouth and saying he could cross the line here, there, and say, there I believe Bari. Why? Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Gamliel hasam el di'ik amigo. Rabbi Gamliel didn't believe her just because of Bari. There's also amigo. Meaning, she could have made a stronger case for herself. As Rashi explains, she could have said, there was no rape. Mukas eitz ani. It happened because of some kind of physical trauma. There wasn't a sexual act at all, and therefore she retains 200 zuz. She could have made that claim for herself and not made the claim that it was about, that it was about rape. What's the advantage of saying Mukas Eitz Ani? So Rashi explains, the pas lanafsha mikahuna. That way, she could still marry a Kohen in a subsequent relationship. If the fellow she married now dies, she could marry a Kohen. The fact that she didn't make a better claim on her own behalf, the fact that she didn't make a stronger claim for herself lends her credibility in our Mishnah. As opposed to the lender has no Migo. He walked up to the guy and said, you owe me a mana. I could have made a claim of 10 mana. But that's not a Migo. So therefore I don't believe him in our case because there's no Migo. Bari alone isn't strong enough. Bari plus Migo is really what you require. But in our case, in the loan case, we're three lines up from the bottom. My migo ego, what migo is there? Inami, alternatively, you could go the other way. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Gamliel hasam, maybe Rabbi Gamliel only made his statement regarding the ksuba, that we say bari, vishema bari adif, and that she is believed. Ela damrinan okma achazaka. The reason why we did it is because you also have her chazaka, that she was a basula. She's been a basula since she was born. So assume that she continued to be a basula as late as possible. Aval hacha, but in the loan case, my chazaka is leilahai. What chazaka is there? There is no chazaka necessarily for the person who's claiming the 100 zuz from the other fellow. So maybe even Rabbi Gamliel would agree in this case for that reason. So we paused here. And we'll have to come back and clarify a little bit more. I want to bring a table and properly chart this out so it'll be a little bit more clear. But God willing, that's what we'll pick up in 2 weeks.